Colin Fitz here. This is Malta Through International Eyes, Minainaid Baranin, on campus 103.7. And my guest today is from Slovenia, and her name is Barbara Lipovšek. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Nice to meet you.
It's a great pleasure to have you in the studio. I've been meaning to interview you for a while because you were recommended by my good friend Viviana Premazzi, who is also a lecturer here at university. And she also works in the field of bringing cultures together and the world of understanding each other. And you are doing your own bit of bringing cultures together and making the best of life in Malta for your Maltese friends and also for expats, people who live here. Because we're going to talk about that during this program. You have a very interesting effort to bring people together. So we'll talk about that very, very soon. But that's why I've been meaning to interview you, because you seem to be someone who wants to make the best out of living wherever you are and make the most friends. Is that right?
Exactly true. Exactly true. Because, you know, life is too short. Having a strong community to support you is very important in all aspects of your life, you know. I've been growing up with that mindset since forever, since I was small, because my family was very involved in the community in my village town. So, yeah, that's kind of like the mindset I always had. Bringing people together, it's nice to see.
Wonderful. Now, I have to admit, not admit, I proudly say that I have visited Slovenia.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Your home country. Like a lot of Maltese, it's a very popular tourist destination for a 3-day, 4-day break, maybe a 1-week break, you know, Lake Bled and the mountains and the snow and the winemaking and the cheese making and the museums and the beautiful countryside and also the historic buildings. That Slovenia offers. Beautiful place. It's no wonder that your tourism authority advertises Slovenia with the pointing out that the letters L-O-V-E are in the middle of Slovenia.
Yes.
Love.
Yeah.
And are you? Tell us a little bit about what it feels to be Slovenian.
What it feels to be Slovenian. So it also depends where you've been growing up in. Life in Slovenia is obviously very different if you are growing up in a village or if you grow up in a city.
Okay.
But I grew up and spent most of my childhood in a... at that time, it was still considered like a village. Now it has, I would say, approximately 4,000 or 5,000 people, inhabitants. I come from a music family. So we were always very engaged in the community services as well.
Yes.
Because my grandfather, on my father's side, he was the president of the cultural association of the town. And he brought into the community a lot of culture. So he helped build the town's movie theater. He brought a lot of performers, like high top performers from the capital city, which was unheard of at that time.
So this is in the time when Slovenia was still part of the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia.
Exactly.
Which was made up of the different states.
Exactly.
Which in the early 90s got their independence. And parts of the Balkans then were involved in a war, which is unfortunate. But Slovenia didn't suffer so much in that war, I believe.
No, we were very lucky. The yes, the war lasted in our territory just a couple of days, basically.
And you were allowed to get your independence quite peacefully.
Exactly. So I was still a Yugoslavian child, so I was still born when there was Yugoslavia there. And the country became independent in the same year that I was born.
Very good. Yeah. You were telling us about your grandfather
yes,
and your family.
So, my grandfather, he was very involved in the community service. We were also very much involved in the everything what was happening around the church there. Because later on, my then father, so children from my grandfather, my father, and my aunt, mm-hmm. right? They were both musicians as well. My father is an organ player and an organ tuner. So he traveled all around Europe to tune organs. And my aunt, she's a professor of music as well. So she was my first piano teacher. So we were, you know, we were brought up in that community spirit, that it was a tight community spirit. And during that, we learned that if we help each other, we can all benefit from it. So my family, I was always used to going to a lot of concerts, a lot of choir concerts. This is something that later in my life did professionally as well.
Indeed, we shall be hearing your voice. We shall be hearing you singing later on in the musical choice that we always include in this program. We'll actually feature Barbara herself, Barbara Lipovcek, who is my guest, singing along with, as a soloist, but along with a group in Slovenia, something you did a few years ago before you came to Malta.
Exactly.
And as we were saying, you brought to Malta as well this idea of bringing people together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how long have you been in Malta?
It's going to be 2 years soon.
2 years.
Yes.
So and we're recording in 2025. And the organization that you run, it's called the Expats...
The Expatriates of Malta.
The Expatriates of Malta.
Exactly.
It started off as a Facebook page?
Exactly, yes. It still is mainly active on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a funny story, basically, and not so complicated story in the end, because when we moved to Malta, so I moved to Malta with my family. I have two children.
Mm-hmm.
When I came here, I did not have a social network backing me up. In Slovenia, I knew a lot of people. I knew a lot of friends. My family is still there. And when you come to a new country where you don't know anyone, it can be a frightening experience.
Yes.
First, you have that sense of novelty, which lasts a couple of months, where everything is new and exciting. But after that, when that novelty wears off, you start to realize, wow, this is a really different culture, and it's a different language, and they have different food here, and I have no friends yet. So that's a big, big factor, and that's a big cookie to chew on. Because I was always brought up in that sense that you need your people, you need your community. You can't do things on your own. So that's why one of the first books that I bought in Malta was The People of Malta, which is run by two Maltese fascinating artists, I think. One is a photographer, right? And one writes the stories.
Indeed. And they also have a Facebook page.
Exactly. And they write these short stories of, you know, local Maltese traditions and how the people live here. So that was the first book I bought because I was interested in, okay, what is this country now that I've moved into? I always had a fascination for people anyway. Throughout my life. And that's when I realized this is so interesting, but Malta is also very interesting in the sense that there are a lot of expats here and no one is covering them, you know? And that's when I...
What do you mean by covering them?
Covering their stories.
Okay.
Kind of like documenting where they come from.
Except me.
Yeah, okay, you. Yeah. Exactly, you. And that's why we need people like you.
But I do get you. You say.
Yeah, so my project
I personally believe, and there was a bit of a controversy in the local press recently when a Maltese personality suggested that we should have broadcasts in English on our national television stations.
Okay.
And it was understood to mean kind of almost like an insult. It was taken as an insult to Maltese, and I don't think it should have been taken in that way.
Okay.
But there's always a bit of a controversy.
Okay.
Because like Slovenia, we are quite a young country and we were dominated by foreign countries for many years.
Throughout history.
Like Slovenia. And there is a bit of defensiveness. Like, listen, we need to put Malta and the Maltese first and then... yes, foreigners are welcome, but we can't let the Maltese language suffer, etc. But I think there is space for both. There can be a station, there can be broadcasts for international people. But just because there are broadcasts and inclusion activities mm-hmm. on a national level for our foreign community mm-hmm. doesn't mean that Maltese has to suffer. On yep. the contrary. But yes, I see your point. I see what you mean. So you bought the book, The People of Malta.
Exactly.
And
I was inspired by it. I found it fascinating that, wow, you can learn so much from random people you've never met before. But if they share bits and pieces of their own life, you can connect with them more.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all human in the end. You know what I mean?
Of course.
We all carry these human experiences. Mm-hmm. And no matter where you come from, no matter where country you come from, we have shared, you know, we've gone through childhoods and we've gone through different parts of our life where, you know, when we went to schools and lost friends and fell in love and were heartbroken, you know? So these are universal events.
Yes.
And this is what brings people together in the end, sharing these things.
So you made an effort to take that forward, all mm-hmm. this feeling, and do something tangible about it,
mm-hmm.
to start making friends. How did you proceed to do this?
How did I do that? That's a good question.
And how did it end up becoming this website, this Facebook page, mm-hmm. The Expatriates of Malta?
So basically, I just started talking with mothers on the playground because this is where I spend most of my days with my kids mm-hmm. from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a job yet here. I didn't have any friends yet. And I just started talking with mothers, how their experience was coming here, where they come from, how was it for them to come here, how did they adapt, and how their life was before Malta. So that was very interesting for me because I met women from, you know, Russia and from Africa and from France, and mm-hmm. some of them were from villages and some of them were from big cities. And mm-hmm. Each of them had really different experiences, but in the end, we all could connect through being parents, you know? We
Indeed.
All were going through the same troubles as, you know, parents of kids.
Yes.
So that's why I started documenting these stories, basically. One of my first stories on the project were mothers from the playground that I met.
Okay.
And also a store clerk from Nepal.
When you say documenting, you mean writing
stories.
Your conversations.
Exactly.
I see.
Yes.
So somebody from Nepal as well?
Yes. From a convenience store in front of our building. That's how it started. And then the ideas kind of like started sparking. How should I develop this further?
Mm-hmm.
I could do like a series of a story, you know, which would kind of like a continuous story.
Mm-hmm.
I really like photography as well. I'm a complete amateur, so this is purely for my own pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that factor as well, that artistic factor to it. Yes.
And did you include Maltese people in these like gathering of stories and the activities? Because you've also started organizing walks, I believe.
Exactly. Together with Viviana, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Together with her organization. So I run a coffee van business
mm-hmm.
in front of the embassies in Tashbish Marina.
Okay.
And I picked that spot specifically because I knew, well, first of all, I always wanted to work near the sea. That was my mm-hmm. first thing.
Yes.
But later on, I knew that that area is very populated by expats.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I will meet a lot of expats there because, yes, we will find a common ground
yes.
in our experience, basically.
So anybody who asks for a coffee and you'd say, oh, you sound, where are you from? And you start the conversation.
I actually always ask my customers where they're from.
Mm-hmm,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so together with my coffee business and with the project where I document stories from expats, I documented Viviana's story as well.
Mm-hmm.
Viviana
Prebazzi has been interviewed in this series. Our listeners can listen to her story and her interview if they go onto the website, the Campus 103.7 website, and there is the program there among all the other programs. Go on, Barbara.
Yes, so Viviana then had invited me to become a part of her project, the association that she runs, because they're organizing these migrant tours in mm-hmm. Malta, mm-hmm. Where they're kind of like connecting... they're kind of like connecting the locals to foreigners mm-hmm. to kind of create bridges between the two mm-hmm. And basically showcasing who the expats in Malta are. So during that tour, they have a stop at my coffee van as well, where we discuss my project, the stories that I document,
yes.
why I believe this work is important, and why I think it helps people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's it. I'm very happy to be a part of it. I think it's quite the same concept mm-hmm. as your show has it, kind of like portraying Malta through the eyes of foreigners.
I see.
Yes.
So for more information, our listeners, perhaps they'd like to find out more.
Mm-hmm.
So they can go to your Facebook page, mm-hmm. which is called...
The Expatriates of Malta.
The Expatriates of Malta. And the walking tour thing, does that have its own Facebook page as well?
Yes, it's usually promoted on Viviana's project page, which is called Global Mindset Development.
Global Mindset Development
exactly.
on Facebook. Global Mindset Development, Viviana Premazzi. So, Barbara, as you can see, we've been joined by two other people in the studio that you've brought in to catalogue this visit to our station.
Exactly.
That you will probably possibly include on your Facebook page as
Definitely.
Well.
Definitely.
Yes. Nino, who's Serbian Maltese, and Camilo from Colombia. And they're taking photographs. So, listeners, if you hear any clicks and photography sounding sound effects,
that's
because we've been joined by Nino and Camilo. Welcome, boys. Thank you for coming in. And we're going to be featured on Barbara's Expatriates of Malta Facebook page.
Exactly.
How many followers does it have now?
Well, 1,200.
Gosh, that's pretty good.
Yes.
And which are the most exciting different countries? I'm sure there are lots of European countries, but you mentioned Nepal, possibly followers from there. Yeah?
Colombia, Brazil, Russia... South Africa. There are a lot mm-hmm. of South Africans in Malta.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's expanding. I'm going to have an interviewee coming from Australia soon. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Maybe you could speak to the people who published the book, The People of Malta, and we have an expats version.
There you go.
That would be really good, I think.
That would be cool.
Maybe we can find some funding for that for you. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, there
some,
you go.
Some project or other, European Union or whatever. Or local, mm-hmm. But it would make a great book, you know, photos and little stories.
Exactly.
So that's really interesting. Now, let's talk about you and Malta, Barbara. Mm-hmm. When you were young, I mean, when was the first time you ever heard of Malta? Were you aware Malta existed as when you were growing up, or did you only start to know about Malta when you were thinking of coming to live here?
Well, the first time I learned about Malta when my brother came to study here.
Okay.
So he was studying here for a term for 6 months.
Did he come to the university or to study English?
Well, actually, he was studying at a private university in Slovenia.
Mm-hmm.
I think they sort of like gathered together with a Maltese school because okay. he was studying management.
I see.
So he came on that basis, basically.
For a semester here,
exactly,
okay.
For a semester here.
And what did it seem like to you? Malta, what is Malta? Where is Malta? Did it sound exciting?
Unfortunately,
or?
I didn't visit him at that time. I mm-hmm. really wanted to because he had so many beautiful things to say about Malta.
Really?
He really always said that, oh my God, this is like heaven on earth. Because it was just, this was 15 years ago,
okay.
you know, when supposedly Malta was also quite different than it is today, right?
There's been a lot more industrialization and construction that has happened in
exactly.
the last...
He recently visited me with his family,
mm-hmm.
And he was so nostalgic. We went to Valletta, and he was, where's the bus station on the, you know, on the roundabout?
Yes.
And I said, I don't know, there was a bus station here. It was like, yes,
that's one improvement that has happened.
Yes. So he remembered Malta in a different way. But the second contact that I had then in Malta was, interestingly enough, during COVID.
Okay.
So during COVID, I enlisted myself on a page which is called Pen Pal World, mm-hmm. where you find pen pals to write letters with.
Okay.
And I've created a, you know, a profile, who I am, how old I am, what are my interests, and who I would like to exchange letters with.
I wouldn't have thought that sort of thing existed anymore.
It still does.
And when you say write, do you actually go the whole way and write on paper? Or can you do exchange emails?
No.
It has to be the traditional way.
Just the traditional way. Yes. So at that time, a Maltese girl reached out to me and she said, would you like to be my pen pal? And she was approximately the same age as me. Mm-hmm. She already had a child as well. So we had a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah.
And we started exchanging letters. And then in the period of next 2 years... we were exchanging letters. I got her letter once per month. We never contacted during social media or anything. And then I reached out to her when we started thinking about moving to Malta. And I said, you're not going to believe it. We're coming to Malta to view it. Yeah. If this would be a possible place that we could live. And now she's one of my closest friends.
Goodness, what a lovely story.
Yeah.
And I've learned something new, that you can still do the old-fashioned writing letters, exchanging photos, and you try and avoid social media or phone calls to keep it traditional.
Oh, yeah.
Via this, what's the site called?
Pen Pal World.
Pen Pal World.
Yes.
Okay, that's something else that our listeners, I'm sure, will find interesting. And yeah, and then, okay, so if you don't mind my asking, what was the catalyst? Why did you decide that it would be better to leave Slovenia and go somewhere else, and you chose Malta?
Well, at that time, we were quite overworked in Slovenia. So I was running a music school in Slovenia. Mm-hmm. My husband was very busy as well. And the work-life balance was just not working for us. Mm-hmm. We had two small children when we moved to Malta. Our eldest was 4, mm-hmm. and our youngest was 1 year old. Mm. And then we just figured, listen, if ever this is the step that we will take to move somewhere else, to improve our work-life balance, to spend more time with our family.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you started looking outside of Slovenia.
Yes.
And was Malta high on the list straight away?
Yes. Well, we got 2 job offers. One was from Ireland and one was from Malta. And then we decided for Malta because we love the sun.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh.
We're not rain people.
What was the weather like where you were living and where you were born?
In Slovenia.
In Slovenia.
Well, this time of the year, it's still quite gloomy. Spring can be tricky because, especially in Ljubljana, I went to study in Ljubljana.
Ljubljana is the capital.
Capital, exactly.
Yes.
And where I was brought up, my childhood was near the second biggest city, so that's Maribor.
Okay.
So that's where I went to high school and then went to university, to the capital.
Mm-hmm.
But the capital, Ljubljana, can be quite gloomy because it's in a, what's it called?
A valley?
It's in a valley, exactly. Mm. So during winter, it's very foggy, not a lot of sun.
I see.
You know, now in springtime, until May, it's still quite a rain season.
I see.
So yes, not a lot of sun though. I mean, we have sun in the summer, but then end of September, then it becomes gloomy again. Mm. Lots of rain, lots of cloudiness. So, the weather is fantastic here for me personally because I was always a sunny Mediterranean type of person.
Very good. Let's take a little break from our conversation and hear you sing.
All right. Oh, amazing.
Yes. Barbara Lipovcek is my guest. She's from Slovenia. She's been in Malta with her family for the last 2 years. And we're going to be hearing a snippet that you sang along with a choir. Could you tell us a little bit about what we're going to be hearing next?
Okay, so I think this is the first time that Malta is going to hear Perpetuum Jazile. That's the name of the a cappella group that I was a part of for 12 years.
What's the name again?
Perpetuum Jazile.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So I was with them, a part of them, for 12 years. I did more than 800 concerts with them.
Wow. In Slovenia or outside?
All around Europe.
Oh, wow.
the States. We had two tours in the States.
Oh,
in Russia, we went to China. And yeah, I traveled the world with them for 12 years, and that was nice. I joined them in 2009, and after a couple of months, we did an a cappella version of Africa from Toto.
Okay.
And this was the beginning of YouTube, right?
Yes.
And it just started booming in a... I think in a matter of a month or two, we already had 2 million views,
wow,
which was unheard of because that was the whole population of our country. but, you know, at that time, it was a huge number. So we started gaining a lot of international spotlight as well, interest. And I remember at that year, it just started booming. In our home country, we had concerts every second day, basically.
Gosh.
And then we started going on tours. So that was the time when I was a student. We did a cappella arrangements of popular songs from different genres. So we were covering pop or funk or jazz.
And
or
this song, this band, still, this group, this choir still exists?
It still exists.
Oh, wonderful. But obviously you're not... it must have broken your heart to have to leave.
Well, I stopped singing there when I got my kids anyway, because I could not manage that. You have to understand it's on a very professional level. So we would have rehearsals 2 times per week, recordings, concerts for weekends, or going on tours for weekends or several weeks. So it was quite a dynamic lifestyle.
Of course, and you couldn't keep it up.
Yes.
Once motherhood came along, at
yes.
least not for a few years. Perhaps one day you will return.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, I'm planning to stay in Malta indefinitely, to be honest, but...
So set up the Malta Expats Choir.
Okay, that's
similar.
An idea. That's an idea.
Maybe finally we'll win Eurovision with the participation of Maltese and the expats together.
Yeah, that's an idea.
with some professional help from your experiences that you've just spoken about. So what are we going to listen to next?
Both Sides Now. This is the song of the last CD that I worked with them. So we issued that CD in 2016, if I'm not mistaken. And that was the last CD I've worked with them.
So let's hear once again, I ask you so that I don't get it wrong, the name of the choir?
It's Perpetuum Jezile.
And the tune?
Both Sides Now.
At all. fairies' wheels and dizzy dancing when you feel as every fairy tale comes real. I've looked at love that way, but now it's just another show. You leave them laughing when you go, and if you care, don't let them know. Don't give yourself away. But something's gained in living every day. I looked at life from both sides now, from win and lose, but still somehow it's life's illusion.
So we heard the voice of Barbara Lipovcek, who is my guest today here on Campus 103.7, Minainen Baradin, Malta Through International Eyes. And the group, the choir, is called
Perpetuum Jazzile.
And we just heard Barbara and the choir interpret the track
of Both Sides Now.
Yeah, we'll be hearing more from the choir a bit later on, and Barbara's interpretation of a Cyndi Lauper song.
Yes, True Colors. Exactly.
True Colors coming soon. Your English is wonderful. Do all Slovenians speak English? Is it taught in schools?
Oh, yes. We start with English very, very young. I'd mm-hmm. say already in kindergarten, mm-hmm. in nursery. So, and from first grade on, we have English as a part of our curriculum. At the university, a lot of our literature is in English too. So,
but the main language, the official language of Slovenia is
Slovenian. Exactly.
Do you have to learn or do you get a choice to learn other languages at school as well?
Usually, I don't know how is it now in elementary schools, but I can share my experience. Mm-hmm. When I was in elementary school, we started with English. And for that, in that period, it was still just a one foreign language that mm-hmm. we had. But then in high school, we had to have two. Mm-hmm. So I went to High School of Music, and we had to have compulsory Italian.
Italian.
Because of the music subject.
I see.
And the second language, you were able to choose either English or German.
Wouldn't many Slovenians opt to learn, for example, one of the other languages from, I don't know, Macedonia or Serbian or Bosnian or one of the other languages from the ex-Yugoslavia?
Well, a lot of Slovenians can understand, for instance, Croatian and Serbian. Mm-hmm. We have a very large Serbian community also in Slovenia. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mostly it's still in the Slovenian culture that in the summer, Slovenians go and vacation in Croatia.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
I mean, beautiful coastline.
Exactly.
The Adriatic Sea. I mean, Montenegro as well has a very nice...
Exactly. And also beach. From the Yugoslav period, mm-hmm. a lot of Slovenians had property. there.
Of course.
So they still own property, like weekend houses. So a lot of Slovenians spend many, many summers there. That's why they speak fluent Croatian as well and can understand it. But regarding foreign languages, it depends when where you were brought up in Slovenia. For instance, I came from a small town which was very near the Austrian border. So we were more influenced with German language. When I was small and Slovenia didn't have many resources yet, we would often go to Austria to buy clothes or food that were not available for us.
When just after independence,
exactly,
in the early 90s,
exactly.
Of course.
So we were more drawn to that, as in on the other part of Slovenia, like bordering to Italy. They speak fluent Italian.
Of course, of course.
You know,
makes
so
sense.
It depends on which part of Slovenia you were.
Yes. So to go back to your coming to Malta, Barbara, you decided to come to Malta. Did you do a visit to check that it was the right kind of place for you and for your kids, or did you just turn up and start your job?
No. We came here as a family, and first we inspected the opportunities. And what we fell in love with was basically the climate. Which was sunny every day that we were here. We were here for 5 days.
When did you come?
In September.
In September.
In September, but end of September. Yeah, we just loved it. I was always drawn to places where you could find a lot of nationalities packed in one place. When I went to university, my first study was culture studies. When I was a part of the a cappella group, I've toured with them for 12 years all over the world. And no book could give me what I've experienced when I was on the road with them, meeting new people, sharing experiences from different cultures. And this is what I was mainly drawn always to. And I wanted that for my kids as well, because in 30 years, they'll probably have to travel all around the world for search of jobs as well. So I think that's a benefit I can give them.
So what was your first feeling when the door, the aeroplane door opened and you went down those steps?
Oh God, it's hot.
Very hot, okay.
Because it was still September, yes. But yeah, you know...
You got a taxi maybe to where you were staying?
Yes, exactly. We got a taxi. We were staying in Slima, I think, which was still quite busy. And coming from a more peaceful area, a more laid-back area in Slovenia, that was a bit of a shock. But like I said, I was living in the capital of Ljubljana in...
Slovenia.
In Slovenia, yes. I've been living there for, I was living there for 13 years more, actually. So I was accustomed to this city life. It wasn't that different. Just it was much warmer and it was a bit of a different architecture. But I really liked the vibe that you were walking down the street and you could hear, you know, English or French or someone was speaking in Indian. And it was just, it was interesting for me.
And now you've been here 2 years.
Yes.
Your kids have settled down, school and everything.
Yes.
Any major issues? Any things that perhaps you dislike? Any things that you wish could be different or could be better in Malta? Or that you maybe you have a suggestion? Don't worry about criticizing. I mean, that's the whole point of this program.
The thing is, I do always realize that no place is perfect. So every place in the world has its benefits and its setbacks. I do feel that Malta is very, very busy in the summer. Over busy.
Busy, okay.
Too busy. But that's just a period in the year, right? I don't take it as a bad thing because Malta is very popular in the summer. Ljubljana is changing in that way too.
Slovenia is starting to become a very attractive to tourists.
So this is a worldwide...
Including Maltese tourists.
Exactly. Yes. So this is a worldwide thing, you know? But yeah, coming here, it was an interesting experience because my kids didn't speak speak English yet.
Mm-hmm.
And first we enrolled our son into daycare. And it was very stressful because we had to leave him there and he didn't speak one word of English.
No.
And yes, it was quite difficult, you know. I really felt bad. But in the same time, I knew that we will be giving him a long-term gift of, you know, learning a new language,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which would not have maybe happened that fast in Slovenia. Mm. But yes, our youngest was 1 year old at the time, and she picked up English like that.
Okay.
She was silent for 6 months, and then she just started talking, and you could not stop her.
And the other child is okay now? I
mean, yes. He's in year two now. He's thriving, so.
That's good. So the busy thing, a bit too overcrowded, maybe, especially in summer. That's the one thing about Malta that upsets you, maybe.
Well, yes, it's also very hot, you know. It's sometimes it's quite unbearable, the heat, actually. But at the same time, this is not Slovenia, so you have to get accustomed to it, you know.
Have you felt the need to learn Maltese at all?
I am learning Maltese.
You are? Okay.
I'm discovering a really new appreciation for the language because it's very difficult language. It's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Especially coming from a Slavic speaking area.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we hear the Maltese language, there is not one word that you can cling on to. Everything sounds so foreign, you know what I mean? Apart from the English words that you use.
That have entered the Maltese language.
Exactly, yeah.
And does Slovenian have anything in common, for example, with Italian?
No.
No, it doesn't, does it?
No.
So,
no. We have many similarities with Croatian, with Serbian, with Macedonian. So,
okay.
Yes.
So completely different syntax, completely different grammar and things.
Yes.
I see. So it's hard, but you're trying to learn it via books or via online or going to lessons?
My son is teaching me a lot of Maltese because he has Maltese in school.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But no, I've recently been talking with this, with a friend of mine. Actually, the Maltese friend, that she's very close to me now. Meredith is her name.
Oh, the
pen pal girl. Yes. I've been speaking to her and I said, Meredith, I have to get a tutor because this is so difficult to learn on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I just have to go more into it because my son's homeworks are becoming more difficult. So I'd like to help him, yes, and it's becoming more difficult now.
And of course, you mentioned your pen pal, Meredith.
Meredith, yeah.
She was here to help you when you first arrived, mm-hmm. 2 years ago, to get used to Malta, and you probably were on the phone with her 3 times a day. Meredith, how do I do this? What do I do here?
Exactly. She was the one taking us around the island
mm-hmm.
for the first couple of days. She was the one who introduced us to twisties. So I'm really, really grateful to her for that. Also, when we moved here, we didn't have a car yet. So she was the one driving me to groceries. And mm-hmm. She was really there for me when I needed her. And I'm really grateful for that.
You mentioned twisties. Yes, Maltese food that you and your family have embraced.
Well, I'm not too big on kini, I have to be honest with you.
Okay, no problem.
But I really do like tuna ftiras.
Tuna ftira.
Yes. And I really am good at making them by this point.
As well, okay.
So, yes, I'm proud of that.
Is there nothing similar in Slovenia?
No, not like that. No, okay. Not like that.
So,
Slovenia is more of like a potato, meat-eating okay. country.
I wanted to ask you, introduce us to a Slovenian delicacy, which is perhaps not known amongst the Maltese.
Well, the traditional Slovenian breakfast consists of bread, mm-hmm. butter, and honey.
Honey? Right?
Yes.
Okay.
And a glass of milk.
Okay.
So that's the traditional Slovenian breakfast.
So that's not what we have here.
No. Yes.
And what type of bread? Sort of the sliced bread that
sliced
we get here?
Bread. Yes. But
not the one with the hard crust, the Maltese.
No. We have a very, very soft crust in Slovenia. So this is a thing that I like in Malta as well, the bread. I really like crust, yes.
Let's listen to the music,
mm-hmm.
to the second track from the choir.
Mm-hmm.
I will let you say the name so I don't get it wrong.
So the a cappella group name is Perpetuum Jazile.
And this was a choir that Barbara was a member of for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And they've traveled the world singing a cappella versions of popular songs. And we're going to hear a version sung by you.
Yes.
Accompanied by the choir.
Yes, exactly.
Of a famous track originally by Cyndi Lauper.
Yes, True Colors.
See your true colors shining through. I see your true colors. That's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors. True colors are beautiful. You with the sad eyes, don't be discouraged, though I realize it's hard to take courage in a world full of people. You can lose sight of it, and the darkness inside you makes you feel so small. I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors. That's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors. True colors are beautiful. You crazy, and you've taken all you can bear. Just call me up, cause you know I'll be there. I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors. That's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true.
Such sad eyes,
So we've just heard Barbara Lipovcek singing there from the time when she was a member of the choir called...
Perpetuum Jesuit. I have an interesting story which was kind of very significant for me. When we were touring in the States in 2013, we were promoting our CD where I sang this, on which I sang this song.
Mm-hmm.
During the concert, one of the concerts, we had a visitor in the auditorium, and she was very close to the stage. She was weeping. She was very emotional throughout the concert.
Wow.
So we were just like, oh, okay, what is going on? Is she okay? And everything. So after the concert, she came to us. She came to me specifically with a big bouquet of sunflowers.
Ah.
And she told me the story that on the first tour that we had 2 years before that, she and her best friend missed the concert.
Mm.
So her best friend was a fan of this song, True Colors, that I sang specifically for my voice. She said that he fell in love with. And 2 years later, they found out, oh, they're going to return to the States.
Mm.
So they bought the ticket for the concert. But a couple of weeks before we came, he was in a car crash and he died.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And after that, she decided she'll come to the concert anyway.
In his memory as well.
In his memory.
Oh.
So she was very emotional when she heard the song, when she heard me singing. And she brought me this bouquet of sunflowers and just thanking me for, you know, being a light in their lives.
Sorrow, yes,
exactly.
Yes.
And it was just so overwhelming for me at that time because, you know, I was 22 at that time. I had no idea about life yet.
Mm.
And it just struck me how much you can affect a person's life just with being present, just by being you.
Or using your talent, even.
Or using your talent.
Yes,
or
yes.
You know. And yeah, that story really struck with
That's
me.
That's a lovely story, so touching.
Yes, yeah. And I'm really grateful for that experience.
You traveled the world. You said China.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have much time left, but give us your impressions of the world.
The
most exciting countries you've been to, the most exciting things you've seen, thanks to being a member of this choir.
It's really interesting because when we were on tour,
mm-hmm.
we were always so busy that we did not experience a lot of the cultures there.
Of course, rehearsing,
preparing. Exactly. When we went on tour to the States, we would have a jam-packed schedule of having 3 concerts in a row in 3 different cities.
Of course, which are miles and miles away from
exactly,
each other.
Exactly. They were 600 or 800 kilometers apart.
Yeah.
So we spent most of the day on the bus or the plane ride, straight to the concert hall for rehearsals, then the concert, then hotel to sleep, and on the road again the next day.
So even though you spent practically a month in the States,
almost
a month,
3.5 weeks.
It was mostly done traveling and rehearsing.
Exactly, exactly. But we met a lot of people along the way who were a part of our team, who were, for instance, we had a German tour and we had a fantastic team of cooks joining us.
Huh.
So they had their own food truck. And they kind of like changed location to location to the concert halls, different concert halls we were performing there. And every night they would cook us these fantastic fresh meals that we were so appreciative of because this is not something that you're used to when you're on the road.
Of course.
And just, you know, hanging out with these production teams or when we were invited to radio stations in those countries or, you know, meeting TV anchors or that kind of thing was already so enriching by default, right?
Absolutely.
We had many interesting experiences. We were invited to be the main act in Disney World in France,
oh, wow.
where they had a kind of like a Christmas dinner event for the employees. Mm. And we were accompanied by 150 dancers.
Gosh.
And we were singing like Disney pieces from like Ariel or Frozen, you know, and the dancers would be in these gorgeous costumes.
What a spectacle.
Exactly. It was a spectacle, even for us. We also being in Slovenia and people coming to us, we were performing for Bill Clinton when he came to Ljubljana to give a lecture.
Mm-hmm.
And meeting him was also an experience,
of course, you know.
And later on, when our song from Toto, Africa, became very viral, the group found us and they invited us to be their side act for their concert. So we got to meet them as well.
You got to meet the group Toto.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Exactly.
That's one of the most popular, famous songs in the world.
Exactly.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, yeah, I've been really blessed with that because not only did I travel the world with them, but that group was really like a family to me. We spend days, weeks, months together. Maybe if we were a week apart, that was already a lot. We were already calling each other, hey, what are you up to? You know, it was a special dynamic that we had. We were very close. And yeah, till this day, they're always going to have a special place in my heart.
Back to your time here in Malta. You've been here 2 years now. You're settled. Your family is settled. Do you see yourself living here in Malta for a long time?
Well, for now, yes. Our kids are in school here. They like it here. So, yes.
Is there a big Slovenian community here? Have you met other Slovenians?
Really. I've met other Slovenians, but it's not a big community. Serbian community, for instance, is a huge one, and I have many friends there.
What's the most, the biggest thing you miss about Slovenia apart from family?
I think the nature. Because here in Malta, I feel that you don't have a lot of places that you can escape to and have complete peace. A lot of corners of Malta are quite busy, where it is. In Slovenia, you can just walk in the forest and be by yourself, even for hours if you want.
Of course, geographically, it's
geographically,
a much bigger country.
Of course.
So.
But that's the thing that I miss. But what I mostly gained in Malta is after I moved here, I saw a shift in my mindset where in Slovenia, maybe I would personally feel a bit overwhelmed with, if I try to do this, what are they going to think? Am I going to make a fool out of myself or something? But here in Malta, I feel that you have a lot of opportunities to be yourself.
Okay.
A lot of things are normalized here. For instance, even the culture itself, you have a lot of expats here.
Yes.
It's
a bit more laid back, maybe. Not so fast. Life.
Yes. And yeah, when I moved here, I just felt like, okay, if I do this move and I go a bit out of my comfort zone, this is my chance to be like genuinely me, to follow what I like, no matter what anyone thinks. And it was a fresh start, and I'm really grateful for that.
And Malta has given you this, which is a nice thing to conclude our interview on. Before we make a final conclusion, we'll remind our listeners about, first of all, you run a coffee kiosk.
Yes.
Near Tashbish, near the embassies, near the Yacht Marina.
It's in front of the embassies, exactly.
So if you feel like coffee and you're in the area, go and
come by.
Get to know Barbara Lipovšek. Also, the Facebook page that you run.
Yes, it's called The Expatriates of Malta, where I document stories from expats that have come to Malta. And basically, I'm interested in their life before and after the move here.
Yes.
As are you.
Indeed. And in association with Viviana Premazzi, who I have also interviewed in this series, you will also participate in Migrant Tours.
Exactly.
Which also have a Facebook page. Barbara Lipovšek, it's been an absolute pleasure to meet you and hear your stories.
I feel the same way. I'm very grateful for the invite here.
Thank you. Don't forget, listeners, that this program, after it's broadcast twice on Campus 103.7, is also uploaded to our website, where you will be able to hear the program whenever you want as a podcast. And also, if you visit Barbara's Facebook page, which, as we said earlier, is called The Expatriates of Malta, you'll be able to see lots of pictures which were taken during this recording.
Okay, yes, that's true. That's true.
Thank you so much, Barbara.
Thank you, Colin. It's been a pleasure.